It's really, really good to be back with you. I'm hoping to do really a couple of things this morning. One is just to share a little bit of a personal update. As many of you know, some things have been happening in my life. And then secondly, we're moving into Holy Week. And I'd like to offer some scriptures that have been especially meaningful to me in these last few weeks and hopefully set us up to move into this time where we recognize that this Jesus, these events that led to his death on our behalf. So I want to begin by saying how much I really appreciate everyone's just love and support and care these past few weeks. I really do feel so just loved and cared for, and so thank you. You guys have been unreal, and I'm so grateful for my church family. Apparently, word travels quickly because I've had people reach out to me that I haven't talked to for like years and years, which is actually really nice. And I know that perhaps many of you wanted to reach out or text or email, but Jeremy said, hey, take it easy. So thank you. Thank you for appreciate you listening to that. Some of you did not listen at all, but I just want to say it was just the right number. I think I was able to respond, but it was good because I think had I gone through the whole week and not heard from anybody, then I would have been a little bit lonely. So thank you for that. I've run into some other people this week, and I can tell it's just that like they want to maybe say something, they want to be helpful, but they, you know, don't want it to be awkward, and it's all good, okay? I so relate to that, like, should I bring it up in situations, or maybe that's going to make it, like, maybe he just wants to eat his lunch, I don't know, and so, no problem, it's all good. So, again, thank you to everyone. Just in case that you're maybe here for the first time or something and have no idea what I'm talking about, briefly, my name is Matt, by the way, but after really about 3 years or so of a long journey with lots of doctors and specialists and tests and now in hindsight, an unnecessary hand surgery and on and on and on, culminating in a trip a couple weeks ago to Mayo Clinic, the bad news is it does seem that I do in fact have ALS, which is crazy to say. Jeremy explained a little bit last week. The challenge with it, it's difficult to diagnose. You, on the one hand, you first have to be able to kind of show that you have the symptoms for it, the neurological symptoms, and I check all those boxes. On the other hand, because some of those symptoms mirror other conditions, diagnoses, you also have to rule all the other possibilities out, which they did some of that at Mayo, and also it turns out the kind of the rabbit trails that I've been on for the last 3 years of maybe it's that, no, maybe it's that, no, have served to do that. So now we're in a place where that's done, and that other stuff is ruled out. So unfortunately, the funnel has narrowed to ALS, and I'll be going back to Mayo periodically to see how it's progressing and just kind of go from there. The thing about ALS is that while it ends the same way for everyone, getting there is kind of different in terms of what deteriorates first and the progression and the timeline. It just is different from person to person. And so the good news in all of this for me is that so far, I think as Jeremy said, it's progressed unusually slowly. So slowly, in fact, that's part of the reason why it's taken them so long to figure out, and why so many doctors have said, don't think that's it. I even had a neurosurgeon a year ago say, no, I don't think it's ALS. You'd be dead by now. When different doctors have different bedside, you know. but just for context and what I mean by slowly, my Mayo neurologist told me a couple weeks ago, he said 85% of people live for 2 to 3 years. Well, I'm 3.5 years into this already. So far, I think I'm doing okay. So again, I guess that's the silver lining. And my prayer going forward and how I would ask you all to pray with me and for me is that this just continues to progress. So, like I got the geologically slow version would be my prayer. So thank you for that. I don't know if this has crossed anyone else's mind. I certainly wouldn't expect it to. I can tell you it's crossed my mind. And it's that this has been a really rough year for me, personally. I would say before this, I was already dealing with probably the hardest season, year of my life. A year ago, almost exactly at this time, my wife and I had just separated and beginning the process that would end in divorce this past summer. And in the subsequent months, of course, I have lots of support and lots of care and hopefully making forward progress in that journey and moving forward and all that. But I still would say that in spite of all that, even this past like December, January, February, for whatever reason, were like the most difficult months for me, just emotionally and all of that, which kind of surprised me. And I was telling my counselor in the last several months, like, I just feel like I can't quite get it together. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not sure what my problem is. And I'm describing these things. And he said to me, Matt, what you're describing is depression. And I'm like, really? Huh. And we talked a lot about that. And I went on an antidepressant for the first time in my life. I've never dealt with that at the end of February. So again, before... You see what I'm saying? Like before all this recent stuff. So on top of that, I'm looking at a pretty scary terminal illness with a really bad ending in terms of quality of life. Years ago, I had a friend, Chris Dennis. Some of you remember him. He was in his early 20s, and he passed away from ALS. And watching pretty up like close, like what he went through, I don't know. I mean, part of me is like, okay, well, I'm not naive, right? I know what this involves. But then the other part of me is like, that is terrifying because I've seen it firsthand. So all of that to say, yeah, it does feel like things are kind of adding up, starting to add up a little bit. I think I'm grasping the big pieces, kind of the rough contours of this so far. I'm sure I've had lots of different emotions. I'm sure part of me is in a little bit of shock still. But it's a lot. I dare say it's more than I can handle. There are aspects of complex grief in this because of the unknowns. Like if I knew that I had 2 years to live, okay. You know, I would do some things differently. Skydiving, the bold name Fu Manchu, whatever that, however that country song goes, right? But if I have 10 years or even 20 years, that's a different approach, and I don't know at this point. And so I imagine I'll continue to have a range of emotions. You know, one minute I kind of freak out, and then the next I'm like, all right, let's go. And have peace about it. And I suspect that's, my counselor says that's normal, just to go in a million different directions. It also occurs to me that we are all going through challenges, that we've all got stuff that we're dealing with. Many of you have health issues, relationship stuff, uncertainty, disappointment, grief that you're dealing with. We all have stuff. And maybe you're here and you've gone through something where you can kind of relate to some of this, where there's lots of emotion and it's scary or it's confusing. And of course, as a person of faith, we go, all right, God, I know that you're in control. I know that you're good. I know in my head, my heart, I know that I can trust you. But that doesn't mean we don't have questions, right? God, where are you in this? What's going on? I've obviously prayed a lot in the recent months and years. I've had many, many of you pray for me. tell me you're praying for me, pray for me in the office, pray for me in the hallway, pray for, you know, I mean, a lot of prayer has gone into this. Several people praying as I went to Mayo that I would get there, and they'd be like, here it is, you know, the thing that nobody thought of, and good news, it's all good. But what happens when God doesn't answer our prayer? Or you actually get like kind of like the worst news that you can get. And so, of course, part of me is like, okay, God, seriously? With all, you know, the buildup, really? Or even like, God, have I done something? Have I done something to like upset you? Even though I don't believe God works like that at all. But it's hard, you know, you can't help but go there a little bit. So that's all stuff. I guess what I'm saying is I'm a normal person probably, and I'm a human being, and this is all probably normal stuff. And so if you're dealing with that, I can relate to that as well. And that's probably just how it's going to be for a while. Which leads me to something else I want to acknowledge. So that's where part of where I am personally. And then there's this other part of me where I'm a pastor. And a pastor who, by the way, has preached a ton of sermons about trials and difficulty and embracing grief and loss and the power of acceptance and what do you do when things don't work out like you'd hoped and on and on. I've never avoided those topics. And so I can, for a lot of reasons, I can imagine that for me being in this role of spiritual leadership, that people, maybe like you, are going to be understandably curious about how I, given all that context, respond to this. I guess I would be curious if I was sitting in your seat. Actually, I'm curious how I'm going to respond at some level to this. I had a friend text me this week and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. And she said, I recognize that I don't have to go through hard things and preach a sermon, which I really, really appreciated that. And again, I know everyone has hard things about their job. I think for me, the challenge has been in these kind of weeks or seasons where I've been down or struggling, it's just been an other added layer, you know, to put in emotionally, spiritually, mentally, preparing sermons, doing the work of pastoring at times has been draining. And I hate that because I wish I could change it. It's part of my cycle of like, why can't I get out of this and feel better and feel normal? So all that to say, I don't know if this recent news adds to that, maybe, or if bizarrely it's like snaps me out of it, you know what I mean? Like the antidote, like, all right, and maybe it'll depend on the day. But as your pastor, all that to say, just kind of going forward and how I plan on approaching this and a couple things I want to commit to. One is I want to commit to just being as open and as honest as I can about this journey. I think I need to be able to pastor and be a normal, like a real person at the same time somehow. And so with that, I want to resist the urge to be overly positive and or falsely triumphant, which is sometimes a Christian tendency. And I'll get to that. We do have hope, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But for me, there is also a real sense, an actual sense of grief and loss. This is not the plan I had for my life. It's pretty scary. And so I want to be open about that. And it might not always be pretty. And so I hope it's okay with you all if I'm just me. And probably more than anything, take pressure that I put on myself to be somehow heroic or a sage-like wisdom or whatever, you know, I think I'm supposed to do as a pastor in this. Secondly, so that's the honesty part. Secondly, and this is really important, I want to reassure you that for me being real does not mean that every sermon I now give is going to be about death, dying, suffering, grief, doom and gloom, okay? That sounds exhausting to me as well. So we're not going to do that. It's a both and. We're going to figure this out as we go. And the truth is we actually do have great hope. You know, there's something about going through trial, difficulty, suffering that reveals what we actually believe. You might think you believe this, but in the moment, we find out. I believe that as Jesus followers, we have reason to hope. Actually, come next Sunday, come back, Easter. We've got resurrection to look forward to. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we do not grieve in light of the resurrection. We do not grieve as people who have no hope. So again, moving forward, I want to acknowledge, not deny the lows or the reality. I want to, to the best of my ability, hopefully model what it looks like to be faithful to God and have questions and get angry and be confused and all of that. But I strongly suspect I'm not going to camp out in the doom and gloom side of this. I strongly suspect that I'm going to probably most likely do my best to get busy living. You know, it's weird because nothing externally really has changed. I mean, I've had some excitement with conversations and stuff. You know, a month from now, I'm going to look around and my life externally is going to more or less be like it was a month ago. Like I said, hopefully my day-to-day life is not impacted for quite some time. Still, you can't get a diagnosis like this and not think about things a little bit differently. For me, it's already bringing kind of a new sense of urgency, maybe some added clarity about what matters, really. I think I know enough, and I think I've walked with God long enough to know that resentment isn't the way forward. Doesn't help. That bitterness doesn't lead to life. It's not what God wants for me. And so I'm not going to choose that, or at least I'm hopefully not going to get stuck there. I want to share a couple of verses in this weird, not really a sermon, that I've been coming back to, that my mind has gone to in light of all this, and that are just hitting differently. They're well known. I've known them like by heart. The first one is this. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you came to me and said you had a terminal diagnosis, I probably wouldn't share this verse with you. It wouldn't be my first pastoral inclination. But it's where my mind has gone. And I think there's so much truth in this. Since I've had this now condition for really more than 3.5 years, for me, the more I live beyond that 85%, you know, expectancy, which I'm already past that, the more I'm going to feel like I am on borrowed time and I'm going to be so grateful for every day that I have. If you think about it, in a way, we're all on borrowed time. None of us have any guarantees. I mean, the truth is I could die tomorrow on my way to Walmart. That would be like Alanis Morissette ironic, wouldn't it? Yeah. Here's what we have. Today, we all have equal access to this present moment. That's it. Right now. Right now. And so I'm going to do what I can to practice gratitude. I've already noticed it's already begun to shift my perspective a little bit. I've gone in the last couple weeks from like, it is so annoying that this hand's messed up and I can't do certain things and I can't type and every time I sit down, I just get frustrated. I've gone from that to, woohoo, look at me go. I'm typing like crazy. So I'm making it work and I'm so happy about that. I've gone from really frustrated with my medical journey and like, this is so slow and I can't get answers in the system. I've got issues with in parts and on to now going, whoa, the very thing that made the process so slow, right? Turns out that's actually good news now, because if the process was fast, like it usually is, I'd be in a different place. So gratitude just reframes. It really does have the ability to reframe our experience with difficult things. And so I suspect I'm going to make room for gratitude in a new way, and that really matters. I was talking to a friend about the whole, what would you do if you knew today was your last day, that question. And again, I've told you before, that's not a really helpful question because, like, I wouldn't pay my bills and I wouldn't be responsible. And it's like, there's a lot of things I would do differently. But it's a fun thought. It's a fun question. And, you know, you're like, I don't know. I'd go to Tahiti, right? And it's like, first of all, that's a bad idea because you're going to spend 20 out of 24 hours sitting on a plane. So I hope you don't choose that. And he said to me, you know, a more helpful question for me is not, what would you do if today was your last day? He said, for him, a better question is, what if you operated as if today was your whole life? And I can't quite explain the distinction, but he was saying, I think, what if how you live today represented who you are in your life, in terms of your priorities, in terms of your perspective, your character, the things that matter, how you love, how you practice gratitude, all these things that we actually do have some agency over. And for whatever reason, that really clicked and was helpful to me. I've been coming back to another verse that I guess I've been surprised to find myself thinking about. Paul says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. It's one thing when something bad happens, but then something better happens after that to make up for it, right? You go through a breakup, but then discover the love of your life. You get fired, but then get a way better job. You're like, all right, this is good. All's well that ends well. I can see now. But when the ending is bad or not what you wanted, all things, he says, in all things, God works for the good. I want to say, Paul, including a terminal illness? Do I really believe that? Notice Paul doesn't say that things will work out according to your timing or what we want. He doesn't even say that we'll for sure be able to understand the good or have that broader perspective in the moment. Do I trust that God is working even in this? That he has a purpose? Or can at least use this and bring good out of it. And all I can say is today, right now, I believe that. Yeah, I believe it. I have no idea what that purpose is. Got lots of questions. But I don't have to know the answers to that right now. And then the third verse that's come to mind and just been helpful to me. In Matthew 10, there's a passage that we looked at a few months ago. And Jesus is telling the disciples, hey, listen up. You're going to face some, it's going to get bumpy. You're going to face some difficulty. You're going to suffer. In fact, you're going to probably die. And then he tells them not to be afraid. And then he says, he reminds them of something that I need to be reminded of in this season. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Notice the sparrow still falls to the ground. It stood out to me. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. He says, when all this goes down and the wheels fall off and it all goes south, he says, you're going to be tempted to believe that you don't matter to God. You're going to be tempted to say, well, since this is happening to me, therefore, God must not see me, love me, care about me. He must be uninvolved or uninterested in what I'm going through. And Jesus says, nothing could be further from the truth. His whole point is that you have like infinite value, worth to God. That nothing that happens to me, nothing that happens to any of us, happens outside of the context of our Heavenly Father's loving care for each one of us. And so I hope that's a reminder for those of us who've prayed and it hasn't gotten better. or the family thing is just in full-on blow-up stage right now, or whatever uncertainty or grief you're facing. You know, we ask questions like, God, why is this happening? And are you paying attention? And these are all fair questions. They're often questions, though, that we don't get answers to in this lifetime. And it seems that Jesus is interested in something else entirely. He wants to remind you that you have infinite value to God, that your circumstances do not coincide at all with how your Heavenly Father feels about you. God sees what we're going through. And Jesus' point is that he cares more deeply than we can imagine. You know, as we move into Holy Week, by the way, I think Jesus was able to do what he did. I think he was able to go through what he went through with the posture and the peace that he had because he was convinced of this. Because he knew his Father in heaven cared deeply for him and that he was loved. On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. And over the course of the meal, you know, he's talking about his suffering. He's talking about his death, and there's like this long conversation about all that God is going to accomplish and what God's up to in the world. But things are going to get really bad, he says. And then at one point he tells them in John 16, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. We live in a broken, fallen world. We live in a world where what God wants, his will, is often contested, his kingdom. His will is not always done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus gives us as his followers a heads up. I don't want you to be caught off guard when this happens, because it's going to happen. Stuff is going to hit the fan. And what I find meaningful to me about this is that Jesus himself, as we enter into Holy Week, he himself is not exempt from this. Someone in our prayer time this morning, and this just hit me, just prayed or reflected the fact that Jesus went into Jerusalem voluntarily. He chose his suffering. My deal, like, I don't want this. This is involuntary, right? He chose it on purpose, willingly, on your behalf, on my behalf, to give us life. He experienced the worst the world could throw at him, way worse than anything I'll experience, that you'll experience. I'm reminded in this that Jesus knows our grief, and he knows it not in his head. You know how he knows it? Like firsthand experience. He knows our suffering, our pain. I think it was Philip Yancey who said, yeah, in suffering, in grief or loss, yes, you can shake your fist at the heavens, at God, and say, God, why would you let this happen? Or God, where are you? Or any number of questions, but there's one thing we can't accuse God of, and that's of not knowing what it's like, because he knows from firsthand experience. We worship a God who knows what it's like. And then he goes on, in this world you'll have trouble, but guess what? The story's not over. Take heart, have courage. He says, I have overcome the world. The story's not over yet. Your story, my little story, listen, it's taking place in a much, much bigger story. And we don't have always all the information, we don't have the pieces, and we have unanswered questions, and it's not always easy. But resurrection is coming. We have good news to look forward to. And so I just want to remind you all, we got to do the hard part first. We got to walk through the events of the cross, and crucifixion's not fun. But there's good news. And I want to encourage you to come back next week. I don't know about anybody else here, but I could use a little celebration. Right? I could use a little reminder of life and hope and resurrection. So we're going to do that next Sunday on Easter. In the meantime, as you go into this week, can I just remind you and encourage you that God sees what you're going through? He sees you. Nothing that you're going through happens outside of his care, his love, his provision. Can I remind you that he has a purpose for what you're going through? He's working for your good. He's working for good of those around you and for what he wants to do in this world. Don't always see what that is, but we can trust him. And can I remind you that in circumstances that you would not choose, that you can have peace in him that's independent of what you're going through, what I'm going through. And we can still find reasons for gratitude. Last thing I want to mention, I know Gus said something about this. Today we're wrapping up our giving challenge to Urban Light, CDC, and to the Lighthouse Recovery Home. And can I just encourage us, first of all, thank you to everyone who's already given up to this point. I would say, on the one hand, at least as of earlier this week, that percentage was still, of those who'd given to this, was relatively small. The good news is that small percentage has been extraordinarily generous, and we're already at like a pretty sweet, we're on a great track. I don't want to say that number because I don't want to ruin the surprise, but can I just encourage all of us to get on board, to give generously, joyfully, at whatever level that means for you. We've kind of had the one day's wage as a target. We're all in different places. But can I encourage you to participate in that? I would love in this season to be able to bless our neighbors and maybe even, as Paul says, to give beyond our ability in this time, to care for the poor. All right. Thank you all again. You guys are an amazing, amazing church family. I love you guys. And this is going to be interesting. We don't know what's going to happen, but God is with us. He's working in our church. He's working in our lives. We don't have to be afraid. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray here, and just a reminder that we have folks coming up front. If you have any need, any concern at all in your life, and you'd like for some folks to pray with you at my left and my right, right after this prayer, you can come forward, and we'd love to join you and support you in prayer. Lord, help us as we go into this week. And we're just once again aware or sensitive to or focused on these really horrible events that led to your suffering and death on our behalf. Help us to remember that you chose that. Help us to remember that there is no suffering that you yourself haven't experienced, essentially, firsthand. God, that you know what it's like. You don't just know what it's like, you see us and you care deeply for us in our situation, in our pain, in our grief, in our suffering, whatever it is, you see us. Jesus, thank you for the peace that you offer. Help us to trust that you have a plan, that you're working, even though we can't see what that is. Lord, may we be a community that's honest about the difficult stuff, that we grow in that. We're not denying it. We're not sugarcoating anything. But we're also people who have great hope. May we model that to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, you're welcome to come receive prayer. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday as we celebrate Easter together.